All right, good evening. If you were here on Sunday morning, you heard me mention what chapter we're going to be looking at. Does anybody remember? Yes. All right, good. Thank you for listening. Oh, yes, Psalm 23. So if you will, go ahead and turn in your Bibles, if you have one with you, to Psalm 23. This is a psalm that was written by David, someone that I've really enjoyed studying his life and seeing a lot about him over the last year, I guess. And anyway, a lot about him. But we're not really going to talk about him today, except that he probably wrote this later in his life. A lot of reasons to think that. I don't know exactly when, but probably while he was king. He had probably gone through something difficult, I'm sure, by the time he had written this. So what we're going to do is we're going to read through the psalm, and then we're just going to go through different parts of the psalm, and I'm going to share some of the thoughts that I've had while studying this psalm that David wrote. And there are so much, this psalm is so very deep, and there's so much to get out of it, and I've prayed a lot. I have not prayed that much leading up to this that you would hear the thoughts that I'm sharing, and that will be what makes a difference. But I have prayed quite a bit leading up to this time that each person in here will be reminded of things maybe that you've heard from Psalm 23, or something the Lord has taught you, or that he will, through his Spirit that is in you, if you are a follower of him, that he will teach you something maybe that I'm not saying, because there's so much to pull out of this that I'm not going to say. So I've really been praying that you will come away from tonight with something to comfort you, or something to challenge you from the Holy Spirit, whether I'm saying it or not. So anyway, we're going to read through it, and then we're going to go through I want to share some thoughts, and I'll try to pause long enough at times for you to have thoughts of your own from the Spirit, or from just from reading it yourself. And then by the end, I'll go back through it again, and I might sing a rendition of Psalm 23 at the end if there's time, but that's not the top of my priority list. So anyway, here we go. Let's read through it here. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All right, as we look at this, the psalm begins with "the Lord is my shepherd." And there's several places throughout Scripture where both Jehovah and Jesus Christ are pictured as shepherds. One of many being John 10, and in verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, or for the sheep." And through the other things that we see of him as the shepherd, we can see that he is the one that guides the sheep. I assume you know what a shepherd is, that they take care of a flock of sheep, and here we are pictured as the sheep. And so if this psalm is to mean anything to you, you have to be able to say that the Lord is your shepherd. And the only way to be able to do that is to know that you are like a sheep in this way, that you are like this animal that goes astray and doesn't know where he or she should be going, but just chooses to go their own way and gets lost and is hopeless without the shepherd. And if you have not recognized your sin and asked him to begin to lead you, or if you have not placed your trust in Him, then He's not your shepherd yet. So that can be something that you think about tonight. But if you have believed on the Lord Jesus, then He is your shepherd, and He will guide you even though we wander astray. So the next phrase, so we've got the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I was thinking and reading about what what that is to not want, that we shall not want. And I think it really comes down to generally just being satisfied in the Lord Jesus. And if you are wanting other things, then you are looking for other things to satisfy you. And I know that is one of the deepest needs of people, is to be satisfied. And we look in so many different places, and I'm sure you have looked in several places yourself and have found that those things do not satisfy you. The only thing that can truly satisfy you is the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's starting to get at what it means that I shall not want, and I think it continues to go through that through the rest of the psalm. The next phrase, after the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I was thinking about, so the lying down in green pastures, we are at rest when you are laying down, and we are in green pastures where we can eat and where we can be filled. And I was reading about the things that shepherds would do with sheep that would go astray, and if a sheep would continue to go astray over and over again and it became dangerous for the sheep, then the shepherd would break one of the legs of the sheep to make it lie down and to stay where he knew that it needed to be. And even in times when we are wandering away over and over again and the Lord has to break one of our legs to make us stay where we need to be, it is better for him to do that than for us to continue to go astray. The next line says, he leads me beside still waters. I think from looking at this over and over again, and the Holy Spirit is showing me what it seems that this passage is about, I think so much of it has to do with him leading us and us following him where he goes. And the thing with sheep do not know where to go. Sheep don't need to know where to go even. They just, if they just wander wherever they want to, they'll never go where they're supposed to be doing. Where they're supposed to be going. But all they really need to know is where the shepherd is. And if they follow the shepherd, then they will be by still waters, and they will go where they need to have their souls restored. So for us, we need only to look where our God is, look at our Savior, just like Peter, looking away from Jesus, began to sink. We need to have our eyes fixed on the shepherd, and if we know, we don't need to know why he says what he says necessarily in every situation. We only need to know that he said it and that he knows what is best for us, that his ways are higher than ours. And his thoughts are higher than ours as well. So if we will be led by him, he will lead us by still waters, and he will restore our souls. Then it says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I think that this has to do with more of him leading us, and this kind of seems to be suggesting more of like the moral way of his leading, in that when we are led by his Spirit and when he teaches us things that are in the Word and when we spend time in it, we'll see how to be followers of Jesus, and we won't always do it right or well. And I really don't think that that's what it's all about anyway. I think it is about having your eyes on him and just pursuing the shepherd and following him. And as we do that, he will lead us in the paths of righteousness. We are not righteous in ourselves, but because he's imputed his righteousness to us, as we follow him, he will just lead us on those paths on the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And it's all for His glory. And everything really is so much better when it is all for His glory. And when we know that, that what we're following Him for is ultimately for His glory, which is for our best. So David has been looking back at his time as a shepherd boy, and thinking of that fondly and comparing that with the way that we follow Jesus. And then in verse 4, things are getting more difficult, but the comfort and the following our shepherd does not change. Verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I'm just going to mention a few of the thoughts from this. Even when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I think that can apply to a lot of different types of things that would bring a sorrow, things that could make our soul not peaceful or quiet, or still things that can really cause us really deep sadness, things seeing all of the prayer requests that we've been mentioning that have been mentioned tonight, all those things can really bring us sorrow and make us sad and are difficult. And I don't think that that changes, but because the Lord is with us, we do not have to fear evil, even if our world is getting more and more evil. We do not have to fear it. We can trust the Lord. We can continue to follow Him. As it continues, it says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The rod and the staff were tools used by the shepherd both to guide the sheep, which the sheep can be comforted to know that the shepherd is guiding them. They can also be used to prod them when they are not going, when they are being disobedient, or to hook their neck to pull them in the right direction. And also to keep attackers away from them. So the same tools are both comforting and correcting to the sheep. But regardless of what the shepherd is doing it for the good of the sheep. And so we can know that as God uses His Word and as He uses His Spirit to teach us things, whether they are correcting us and challenging us, or whether they are comforting us, we can know that it is good, and that what is in the Scripture is good and for our good. We can follow Him so peacefully, and that can be such a comfort to us. Then it shows God as our host. It says in verse 5, it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Even we were just in the valley of the shadow of death, and even when the enemy is right there, following Jesus isn't getting us away from all of our problems. And I think it's really easy to try to pray away the problems themselves. And as I think about the things that I'm naturally praying for, it's a lot easier to pray for a difficult situation to just pass away or to not have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But I think it is even more, I think we will be closer to the shepherd and more willing to follow Him if we pray that He will continue to give us strength as we walk through that valley, that He and thank Him that even while that's happening, even while our enemies are right there, even when the evil is coming at us, we can sit peacefully and enjoy the table that He set for us. We don't need to pray away the valley, but we can pray through the valley as we go, because there's so much that we can learn in the valleys, so much that David learns in the valleys that are really difficult. But we do not need to be afraid. The rod and the staff comfort us. the oil anointing on our heads comfort us as our cup overflows. Then, verse 6, almost to the end, verses 1 through 5 has been talking about kind of the past into the present, as David looks back and sees how the Lord has led him and can comfort him. He also is able to look to the future for the rest of his life and into eternity for even more comfort. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Whether we're looking in the past as we look back and see the way that God has led us through our lives up to this point, or we're looking forward to seeing how He's going to lead us for the rest of our lives, we can know that His comfort is there as we follow Him. His protection is there as we follow Him. And goodness and mercy will follow us for the rest of our lives and as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever, even after we die, and as we go to heaven if we have put our trust in Him, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that is the ultimate comfort, that no matter what happens to us here, we have forever to be with Him. So, again, I think this psalm is about us being led by Him and not choosing which way we want to go. But I see a really beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus, how He chose to be our shepherd, which in that time was about as low of a job as you could be. The youngest son was always the one who was the shepherd in a family like David. It was not the nicest job in the world, but He was willing to step down from heaven to be our shepherd and to lead dumb sheep like us that do not know where we're going. And the Bible says that all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We had turned everyone to His own way, but the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The great shepherd came as a lamb to be killed for us. He was led to the slaughter, as it says in Isaiah, so that we can be led beside still waters. And if his being led to the slaughter and dying for us, if we have believed in Him, we don't have to do that. We don't have to be the sacrifice. We can just keep our eyes on the shepherd. So as we, I don't think I'm paused enough at times for you to think about, but I pray that the Lord was able to show you things about you as the sheep and about Him as the shepherd, and the importance of being led by His Spirit and seeing the truth that is in His Word as we follow Him. So I pray that as we leave, that we'll do that, that we'll thank Him for leading us and for comforting us, and that we'll be willing to keep our eyes on the shepherd. So I'm going to read this one last time, and then I'll pray to close. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before us in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God, I thank You for this psalm. I thank You for the beautiful poetry that it is and the beautiful pictures that are in here of You as our shepherd, of You as our guide, and also of You as our host. We know that no matter what is happening to us here on this earth, no matter what is happening to the world, no matter what's happening to our family members and friends and the people that we love, whether they are dealing with sickness or death, or whether they do not follow You, or whether they're dealing with sin, whatever it is, all of the valleys that we walk through, we know that You are leading us and guiding us, and that you set up a table for us in the presence of our enemies. We do not have to fear evil, for you are with us. We know that you lead us by still waters into green pastures, and we thank you for that. And we just pray that we will not try to pray away our valleys, try to pray away the difficult things that happen to us, but I pray that we will have our eyes fixed on you wherever you are, even if you are walking into a difficult situation ahead of us. I pray that we will follow you, knowing that you have our best in mind, that you were willing to send your Son to come be the Lamb that was slain for us, so that we could be the Lamb that was led by you into green pastures. So we just thank you for that. We thank you for comforting us. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for your Spirit. And we just pray that we will keep our eyes fixed on you. We pray all this in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.